go.
Fire that up. We're live and on. All right. Well, it's a joy to be back here with you again, and really enjoyed last time I was with you. You all were very so welcoming, made me feel at home, and it's a joy, though, to come back and to be here with my wife. I didn't marry my wife to not be with her, and I've had the duty at times to be away from her, and sometimes it, well, we were quite a long distance and time, you know, up to a couple months. I was on the road preaching from time to time, and I tell you, I was just a miserable puppy there, and I do so much better when my wife is here. So I don't know how in the world I did without her being here, you know, but I had the Lord with me, and He saw me through that. But I preach better when my wife's here. And take your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. It is a honor and a privilege to be with you in this church's inaugural missions endeavors. And I hope that as year by year, as you grow as a church, but also grow in your missions endeavors, that one day you'll be able to look back, those of you that were here at the beginning, and say, I remember our first mission Sunday. We had this turkey come in, and God blessed in spite of that, and the Lord just used this church. I mean, you may be able to look back in years, and it may not be so many distant years, and say, you know, it's amazing what we're able to give to mission, what God has done. And this is perhaps the beginning of that. And I've had that joy to be in a number of churches and to teach them from the start missions. Now, some people get on to missions on the wrong foot. And I hope that I'm not going to misguide you and get you off to on the wrong foot. It's good to put your best foot forward, isn't it?
Amen.
And so we're going to go to the Bible, and we're going to get our instructions from it. If you miss Sunday school, you miss the teaching that I call it Missions 101. It's a crash course in missions, taking you from ground zero and putting you on a course to know this is what biblical missions is all about. Now, a preacher's going to have a PowerPoint lesson, and if you missed it, it was taped, and so we'll kind of work out a system where that can be available to you. And it's been my joy to be able to teach a number of churches missions. I've traveled for 17 years. I've been 17 years as a missionary, but traveled more than that, teaching missions in a number of churches from small to large. And some have been doing missions endeavors for many, many years. Some are just starting out. And I got to tell you, I get more excited coming to a church that's just starting out. This just thrills my soul. So here we are. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. And we're going to start in verse 10 because we want a little bit of background, a little bit of context. And I don't know what's customary here, but I don't think anyone would object for us to stand in the reading God's Word. And so let's start in verse number 10. And we'll finish off at verse 23. But it's verse 19 that is the key verse that I want to get to. But verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Paul is speaking as he writes to the Philippians. But I rejoiced greatly in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me had flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, sorry, Thessalonica. You sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren which are with me greet you. And let's continue on. And all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, now bless this time. Lord, use me to be a blessing. May I be your vessel. Lord, prepare each heart for this. May we be open to your word and your teaching. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I had the honor and the privilege of attending Baptist University of America. It's a college that sadly wasn't able to keep its doors open due to finances. But at the time, back in the 80s, Dr. Jack Baskin was the principal of the college. My father, who was my pastor, said, "Well, Tom, if you're going to go to missions, then you need to go to Baptist University of America, because there Dr. Baskin's is the man to sit under." Dr. Baskin's perhaps could be argued by many people to be the last century most successful missionary. If you would consider the number of souls saved as success, then perhaps that would be making him the most successful. He first went to the country of Korea as a soldier for his country. And while there, he began to become burdened for the people, for their souls. And after the war, he went back as a soldier for Jesus Christ. And while there, he labored for many years. And I remember he would tell us, mission students in his classes, he would tell us his experiences and stories and things that the Lord allowed him to do. In fact, one of the largest churches in the world today was started by him in Korea. And Dr. Kim is now the pastor man he led to the Lord and in Seoul, Korea. But Dr. Baskin would often get in his Jeep, and he would travel as far as his Jeep could take him there into the back roads and stuff. And then he would backpack for 2 or 3 days. And one day he came to a small little sea village. And as he entered into that village, the custom there is to go to the elders, to the grandfathers. And so he came up to the elder of the village and he said, "Grandfather, I'm a missionary, and I've come to tell you and your people of Yesu, Jesus Christ. You see, Hanahan, the true God, had a son, Yesu, and he came to live on the earth." And he began to tell this old man the gospel. That old man just began to weep with tears. And he hadn't had this response from the man before. And Dr. Baxter stopped, and the old man says, "Oh, missionary, I'm so glad you came. You see, when I was a little boy, we lived on the other side of these mountains. And in our village came a missionary. And he began to come and teach us about Jesus. But there were some problems going on in our family and some fighting. My father was, and we had to leave the village. And as a little boy, we left and we came to this village that I now live in. And I knew that there was something about that God. And I have prayed for all these years. Son, come. Hey. Thank you. Can you imagine? That old grandfather trusted
Amen.
2 days later, many in the village were saved, and the church was planted. And as Dr. Bassett was about to leave, an old man said to this missionary, he said, in your country, in America, how long have you known a gay son? He says, all over. He said, did you call him out? He said, oh, yes, my son. He said, did your father's father know? He said, well, yes, sir. That's it. We've known for many years. Then he said this. He said, if you've known for all those years, God has said that you just have come to me. Silence. A few years ago, I was very much. Nor did this one. How do you answer? What will we say when we get to heaven? Well, God, we didn't have the money. We didn't have the tools and the resources. We didn't have the people. I don't think that excuse will work. Fact is that God has blessed us abundantly.
Amen.
And I've said this so many times, but it's so true. Our blessings are not for our benefit just to squander away. God blesses so that we might be
able
to. Amen. He enables us
so that we might carry out what God wants us to carry out. And if you're there in Philippians chapter 4, we all know this verse 19, don't we? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Has anyone ever been a guarantor for something? Was a co-signer for something? You want to get a loan in the bank and say, well, on the strength of your income, the strength of your credit history, because we don't have much credit history, we need a guarantor to sign this. And so someone that has maybe a little more stronger income, longer history, this and the other, and they come in, they become the guarantor. And they're saying, okay, well, we'll approve this according to his riches, his credit score, his whatever background. Now, some people may promise you something. I'll take care of this. Trust me. And they fall through.
That's right.
They might have had great intentions, but they just didn't have the real ability to carry out their promises. Aren't you glad God's got the ability to carry out His promises?
Amen.
But my God shall supply all your wants according... No, hang on. I didn't say that, did it? All your needs.
Amen.
Now, sometimes our wants and our needs get confused.
Sure.
Well, Lord, I need to make this car payment. Well, you didn't need that car.
That's right.
You didn't need the brand new Mercedes or the brand new whatever. And sometimes we get our needs and wants mixed up. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory.
Amen.
Now, isn't that, I like promises. I like the promises of the Bible. And I like when God makes promises to us. Because I know I can count on them. Amen? Can you count on God's promises?
Amen.
Okay. All right, good. Now, but you know what? Sometimes His promises have premises. There's a premise to the promise. For example, the promise is, I'll save you, but the premise is what? You have to say, God.
Yes.
God, I deserve to be punished.
Yes.
I'm wicked. I have violated your laws. I deserve your judgment.
That's right. No.
And I don't deserve to be saved. But God, I plead to you for mercy. If you come to Him for mercy, He'll give it.
Amen.
He's promised to have it there. Amen?
Amen.
But the premise is, you've got to confess. You have to believe That God sees you as a vile sinner, and that He died on the cross for you to pay the penalty for your sin, and that He rose again victorious, as He said
He would.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
You have to believe that. So that premises your belief in that. But you but the promise is, I'll save you. I'll give you mercy if you ask for it. So with the promise comes a premise. So what's the promise here? That God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. What's the premise to this? The premise is, let's look in the verses beforehand. We have to look before. Who does this promise apply to?
This promise applies to those who were giving to the needs for the gospel to be propagated. Missions.
Look at this. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Apostle Paul. Who was he? Well, if you were here in Sunday school, you'd find out he was, the pattern for missions. Here he is. He's a missionary. And he writes back to the church in Philippi. He's talking about how they provided for his needs. Let's go to verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You were a faithful church. You were the ones that provided for our needs. Other churches neglected that, but you didn't.
Right.
Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity. Not only once. Now they didn't have a banking system like they've got today. I mean, what's neat today is that, you don't even have to go down to the bank. You can just have your bank wire money from one place to the next and all that kind of stuff there. Well, they didn't have that system. Man, if money was coming, someone had to bring it. And here he speaks of one who did. Verse 18. But I have all and abound all. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Epaphroditus was the messenger that you sent out there, and he brought the gift, the offering that you had given, so that we can continue the mission work. Now, but I want to point out verse 17. I'm going to get back to this later, but look at this verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift. I'm not talking about this because I desire to receive. But he says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account.
Amen.
And so let me kind of give it to you this way. When you support a missionary, that missionary becomes, in a sense, a representative of Faith Baptist Church. A deputy, so to speak. He deputized him to represent you. And you enter into a kind of a team partnership. You've got a responsibility to get the gospel to the world. Now, we said this in Sunday school. Let me say, yeah, I should have begun this already. We said this at the beginning, but to say now. If we get to the root of missions, think of it this way. If it were you, over there.
Right.
In that sea village. Wouldn't you want someone to
pray for you? Try it now.
And unless you don't, the Bible says that in Romans 10, as we read in Sunday school, how shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard?
That's right.
How do they do that? Unless they hear about it. And unless they hear about it, they're not going to be saved.
That's right.
And how shall they hear except there be a preacher?
Mm-hmm.
And how shall they preach except he be sent?
Amen.
So if you support a missionary, and I don't know what God may lead you as a church collectively to be able to do, but I want to commend your pastor because, This isn't just something that a church might do, could do. This is something that every church ought to do. I'm sorry, it just is. We're small and we're good. That's a good place to start from.
Amen.
Because when we get down to the end of this, you're going to find there's some blessings.
Amen.
And one of the blessings is this. My God shall supply all your needs.
That's right.
Who? Promises to those who are involved in getting the gospel to the world.
Amen.
See, you know what the problem is? We sometimes become so insular thinking. We start thinking of our needs. Man, we gotta pay the rent, we gotta pay the smart pastor, we gotta pay the track bills and all these expenses. And we become so thinking about us. Before you know it, you've forgotten about that.
That's right.
When we start becoming us focused and not them focused, then we get that's true on an individual basis, but it's also true corporately. So what is faith purpose giving? Now, I grew up calling it faith promise giving. A purpose, when someone purposes something in their heart, and they're saying, I'm purposing to do this. And I look at life like Daniel did. Thank you, kids, for helping me, because I forgot his name. The guy who got wounded in the lion's den. But you all picked it up there. Daniel. Remember Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these four Hebrew boys that were taken captive, and they were now in a foreign country under bondage by a Babylonian king. And what did it say to them? That he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of king's meat. He made a vow. Not a suggestion, not an idea, but a purpose.
Yes.
This is something I purpose to do. I'm making a vow. So when we look into this, this is a private vow that you make. And so let's look what that is. Now, first of all, it's not a pledge. It's not something that you are going to, that someone's going to, It's voluntary, completely on your own basis there, and it's set up by what you feel God is leading you to do. And no one's going to collect it from you. Your pastor is not going to say, you know what, you said you were going to give this much a month, that means this so much a year, and it's not in yet.
That's right.
And so we're just going to send you a little bill there for the rest of it to come in. You're not going to do that, right?
No.
That's not what this is about.
No,
that's not what it's about. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, it says this. For if there be, which by the way, 2 Corinthians 8 talks about this area of giving, of how these gave to missions there. Go ahead and turn that if you like, but you can read the preceding verses. But it's verse 12 that I want you to get to. And it says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Okay? So what? You know, no one's going to be sending a bill and saying, you're short on this. Now, the reason I mention this is that some people set up their giving in this way. And I don't see that as a biblical principle. Okay? The Bible makes it clear that you don't give grudgingly or out of necessity.
Right.
Okay? And so, that falls into the category. If we make it a bill, then that's grudgingly and makes you, I gotta pay this stinking bill. Yeah, type of thing. No, we want it to be a willing offering. Also, secondly, we call it giving by faith. And this morning in Sunday school, I try to illustrate this through a graph. And, we all have we have our income. Sometimes it's not always fixed, is it? Sometimes it's there and here, here and here and stuff. It's like a yo-yo, okay? But sometimes we have a fixed income. We got a salary, whatever, each month we get this and the other. But we also have fixed expenses. The rent's always the same, and the light bill, and the power bill, and all those things might change and stuff. But we have fixed expenses; they have to be paid and stuff. But then at the end of that, sometimes there's discretionary money. what we have in our budget and say, okay, our income's this, and then, well, we can choose to maybe spend this on, you know, let's go out to eat and let's do, you know, a splurge or whatever, or, you know, we might buy some clothes or whatever. And so it's discretionary what we do with that. But faith giving has nothing to do with those things, with those two figures, fixed expenses or discretionary money. Faith giving is dealing in an area that you say, God, I don't have this money to give. And but I believe, yeah, I believe you have placed this amount on my heart to give this thing, to give this amount, and I don't see how I can fit that in my discretionary giving.
Amen.
I don't see how that fits. But I believe that you have placed that figure on my heart.
Come on.
And that's where the faith comes in.
That's
right.
Amen.
Because if you can give it according to your ability, to your power, then you don't need God yet. Because faith comes in when you need God.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. There's examples that we gave in Sunday school, like Hannah. Remember, she didn't have a child. And oh, how she wanted a child. And how she was ridiculed because she was childless. She was in the temple and she prayed, oh God, provide me a child. And I make a vow to you, God. She said, you know, the word vow was there. I vow to you that if you give me a child, God, I'll give him back to you. And so faith purpose giving is this. We say, God, we want
to increase our faith. You think I want your faith to increase?
Let's illustrate this more. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8 and let's deal with it. I'm going to veer from my message slightly, but I think this is so important. And some didn't get that in Sunday school, so I just want to cover that here. See, there's three ways we can give to missions. In verse 1 it says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, which means to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. What's their financial condition? Not just poor, deeply poor. Okay? In their deep poverty, abundant into the riches of their liberality. Even though they were poor, they were very liberal or generous with what riches they had. Now here it shows how they did it. How they do it. The first way you give, for to their power I bear record. Now, preacher, I didn't bring up one of your cards. When you pray about this, when you look at this, some of you, and I guess there's always a starting point somewhere, but when you put an amount on that card, some of you might look at your budget. Say, okay, we've got this and so forth there, and I can afford to give so much, X amount, a month or a week or whatever. Now, how should you give it? I believe you should give it in a timely fashion of how God prospers you. If God prospers you weekly, then give it weekly. So in other words, if you're saying, okay, well, I'm just going to pick a figure, say 100, because I can divide that easily, okay? And instead of saying, well, there's 4 weeks in a month usually, so I'm going to give $25 a week. Okay? By the way, do you know how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. This is bite sizes here, okay? And so if you get prospered weekly, then give it weekly. If you get prospered bi-weekly, give it bi-weekly. If you get prospered monthly, which is usually our case, then give it monthly. You know, and so forth there. And the pastor's asking for a monthly amount because it's easy to do the math. So if you're saying, well, I'm going to, you know, I get paid weekly and stuff, and I can see, you know, whatever. Now, some will put the figure down there based on their budget. Now that's what some people gave this way. Look, verse 3. For to their power I bear record. It was according to, in their power, in their ability. With what income they had the power to give this.
Whatever they gave.
Okay? But then, another group of people really experienced faith giving. Now, most people who give to missions do it by budget giving. I'm just going to be honest with you. And really, in truth, that's how I started out. I wish to say that I gave more by faith,
but it's more by faith you did.
It just meant I had to be more disciplined.
It meant this. I had to say really what meant more to me. Going out to the movies or going out, whatever, doing something with my mates, or seeing that the purpose of the cross can be fulfilled. Now, I started getting when I was a kid. It's a big promise. And I wish I could tell you that I was always right with God, but I wasn't. I wish I could say that.
Come on.
The times, you know, I had to deal with the flesh.
Yep.
And I had to learn to say, okay, God, you are first place now. And these things mean more to me than the things of this world. Some of my stuff is sports. I mean, I had to give up some things so that I could give. Okay?
And so some give by their power. Then it says, and beyond their power. So what's that? That's where faith promise giving comes in. When they give beyond what they're able to give.
Right.
Now we're not saying that, you know, that we want you to go and be foolish.
Right.
But what we want you to do, though, is simply say, God, what would you test my faith with? What would you test my faith with? And when you pray that way, and you say, God, and when He gives you a figure, guess what? It will kind of scare you a bit. Because you know why? Because you're going to be thinking, how can I afford that? And that's the purpose. You can't. He can.
Amen.
You can't, but He can.
Amen.
Now you step from your ability into His ability. I'm going to just be quite honest with you. That's scary.
Because you wonder, how can I afford this? You know, now that I do that, I now might be in trouble with my other expenses. God, you know what that does? That keeps me on my knees.
Yeah.
God, if you said that you would be on my knees, according to your riches and glory, and I believe honestly that you set this figure on my heart to do it, I'm trusting you to do it. And I'm going to get it. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to put my faith in action. I'm going to get it there. So, now God, you got to take care of the righteous.
Right.
Amen. Yeah.
For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power, it says in verse 3, they were willing of themselves. But then verse 5 kind of explains kind of how they did that. Verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. You see, when God has you, He has your wallet too.
Right.
Just kind of comes. And let's not forget something here. After all, what we have, did we not get it from God in the first place?
Hey, go ahead, man.
The Bible tells us that He gave us the health to get the wealth. And so God is the one who did that for us. Now, why do we give it? Philippians 4:17. It tells us there, it says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire that desire fruit that may abound to your account. You see, what is that fruit? Well, when a preacher labors, what's the fruit that he's laboring for? He's laboring for souls. He's laboring for souls to be saved and churches to be established. Now, when you give your money to support a missionary, he will go, now that you give it,
and that others are there, and represent you, and he may go labor in France
or Japan. Recognize the flags that I know that I guess that's Lebanon, Germany, or
you know, Mexico. Is that New Zealand? I think over there. Just through a knowledge of flags there. What's this flag right here? You told me earlier. Cambodia. That's right. It's in Malaysia. Cambodia. Yeah. And a missionary goes to these countries, which, by the way, those souls are not here. They've got an eternity to spend somewhere. So when they go and they lead people to Christ and lead people to the Lord, and they baptize and establish a church, and those people get saved, what fruit is the bounty to your account?
Souls.
You get it? When you get it, it excites you.
Amen.
It means that God rewards you. Now, when will we get our rewards?
In heaven.
Our reward's not here, but our reward will be up there. And when we get there, God, and then we'll be able to see the fruit that was accomplished because we came.
Amen.
Now, I'm running a bit late, but let me come to close.
Let's go ahead. Malachi chapter 3.
No,
I tell you what, we're going to stay out of Malachi. Not because it's trouble, but I tell you, there's so much blessing, but I just want to close with Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. This will demonstrate the same point I want to make. In Malachi, let me just say this. Often we deal with verse 10.
Will you rob God? Will you rob me in tithes and offerings?
And it says, you know,
he says, give and see if I not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing wherewith you be able to receive. Just see if I not do that. Just give and see if I not do that.
No.
I dare that. I double dare you.
Okay. You know, and just see if I not do that.
Oh, I can tell you a story. Maybe I'll tell you tonight about the story when I was a kid, about 10 years old, when I learned that lesson.
But let me close with Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And here's another promise. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now this is a promise from God. And the promise is this. If you give, now let me put it corporately as a church.
If you as a church, if you're only interested in giving, Faith Baptist Church, we've got to meet our needs and meet our expenses and our things, then you're not being a giver.
That's right.
If you want a blessing, be a giver. Look out. How does that want to do? Give so that other churches are sorry. And that fruit balance to your account. But if you give, it'll be given unto you. Okay? I'm convinced that in a Baptist church, this small church, we run 70, maybe 80 people on a good day. The mission that is for what, 22 and 24 missionaries at $100 a month. And the people have just learned they did. They started out small, you know, faith like a muscle. And it grows, man, it's so bad. God bless me. I don't know how I could give this equal. I don't know how I could get $25 a week. These were tough. I don't know how I could give it. God bless me. And then I grew and I started getting $30 a week. And then $35 or $40 a week. And some of them do it for many, many years. And their faith is growing. God proved he could provide, and he did. And I got a raise at work. And I got to go, God bless me with this. And it's so expensive. You know this thing Malachi? He says, see if I'm not open to the benefit, it's another thing. He rebukes the devourer.
Amen, that's right.
I can tell you a great story about some of that there, but I don't have time.
But I do want to tell you one story in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. What happens after you? How should it be given to you? Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men get to your bosom. When I, a few years ago, I was preaching in Florida, and I pulled into a Wendy's, and I ordered
a prostitute. And this girl back there, she went there, and I watched what she did. She kind of did this number here with the prostitute machine there, and she was filling the outside of the, well, the inside of the government, or, I mean, yeah, leaving a hole in the middle. And did a little sip at the end there, and came over to my house. I took that stuff and did it all the time. One thing it dropped down, you know, about that corner. I said, top fill it up. And when you put the lid on and it oozes over, don't wipe it off. I'm going to lick that. Man, when I order a frosty, I want it pressed down, shake it together, bring over. I told that story at my church there, and you know what? You know, they got this little wind-up toy. Someone went to Wendy's and they had a wind-up frosty. They brought that back to me, you know. And so, you know, I had that in my pulpit there at the church that always reminded me of that there, that little wind-up frosty. But aren't you glad when God gives, that's the measure to give?
Amen.
Press down to shake them together.
Amen.
God is a generous God. Bless us there.
Amen.
But listen, if you give, to get.
Don't
give it, huh? You give to get. That's your purpose of giving. Say, oh, I'm going to cash in on this, cash in. Golden goose thing, you know. God's not looking at it.
That's right.
And you won't be treated that way.
That's right.
And he knows your heart.
Amen.
But remember this. God blesses your faith. And in doing so, it's by your needs. And how he blesses is so abundant. But we don't give so that we can get. We give so that others can go.
Amen.
And if it were us, we would want someone to go. That's right. Amen. Thank you for the privilege of coming and being with this church as they embark in their endeavors, Lord, to be involved in worldwide missions. And in doing so, they fulfill the commandment that's given to them to go into all nations and to preach the gospel to every creature. Not everyone could go, not everyone should go, only those who are called. For those who are called need to be sent. And I pray that this church will also enjoy in its future maybe that one from their own congregation would be called to go. What a joy that would be. But until then, Lord, may they send those who have been called from other churches upon faith so that more churches upon faith can be established. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Here's God with the Lord. That's not the call. You know, it's a shame so many times that we get so focused on what we can see and what makes sense to us from a human perspective instead of just by faith trusting God. And you know, I know that at times there'll be folks who say, well, Pastor, you're just trying to fill the church offering. That's not the case. It's as Paul said, that the fruit may abound to your account. There might be treasure for you in heaven. What a blessing. I'm excited, and I pray this morning God might have stirred your heart. Maybe you've been, you know, a little lax. Maybe you've just never considered it. Maybe God has laid upon your heart what He'd like you to do for missions. Or maybe there's something else He's spoken to you about. I'm going to ask Sister Theora to play a couple verses of an invitation hymn. Right there, just see if you need to bow your head, kneel if you're seated. If you'd like to come to the front here and kneel. Let's do business with the Lord. What are you going to do for the Lord? What are you going to do for missions? It's time to step out by faith. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith. It's impossible to please God without it. As she plays, let's do business with the Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed. employees, Mrs. Collins, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, continue to do business with Him. Maybe this is the first time you've ever even thought of it this way. Try God. I challenge you. Try Him. He's never let me down. Nor the countless hundreds and thousands that have trusted Him before. Sister Dior, we just have her continue playing as people are still spending time with the Lord. There's no rush, no hurry. One thing that Brother Wallace said, really the premise, what if it was us? What if we were the ones in darkness? Without a church, without a Bible. Blissfully unaware that we were headed straight to hell. Wouldn't we want someone that knew to come and tell us? We can have a part of that church. I'm excited. Be excited. Let's trust the Lord. Father, I want to thank You for bringing us together this morning and for those that have made it a priority to be here. Lord, I pray as we seek to trust You, as we seek to live for You, as we seek to be the kind of church You intend for us to be, I pray that we would do what is required of us and what is asked of us so that we might display and demonstrate our love for You. Father, I do ask and I pray that You would just help us to be a missions-minded church, not just in our own Jerusalem and trying to win souls to Jesus, but, Lord, sending others out to win those that we cannot reach. I ask that You would bless, bring us back again this evening, Father, I pray, as we continue discussing missions and Lord, allowing Your Spirit to work in our heart in this subject. I pray that, Father, You would just bless our afternoon. I pray it would be honoring and it would glorify You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I am so glad you came. And please come back tonight. You say, Pastor, I don't usually come back. 6 o'clock. And we're going to come back and at least be a part of finding out what we're going to be able to give to missions. I'm excited about it. Be excited. Say, man. And boy, what an opportunity. So 6 o'clock tonight, Brother Wallace is going to be speaking again this evening. I believe him and his, well, he hasn't told his wife yet, but I'm going to spring it on him. I believe him and his wife are singing tonight. So he told me earlier, he said, I haven't told my wife yet. So I just did it for you, brother. There you go. So... And looking forward to that. And then, so come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Promise we'll keep you here late. But come, be a part of it. Like I said, if you have a card and you'd like to take it home tonight or this afternoon, pray about it some more, please do so. But I'm excited about what God's going to do in our church. So you think, invite someone tonight too. If you think of someone who'd like to come, learn more about missions, it'd be good. All right, let's be dismissed. We'll see you this afternoon. And Lord bless you.